Supra car behind you. Take them, shoot from the back. After serving before he, did you find it? The last time I mentioned about the 5-4 grace at meals, before meals. We chant here. Did you chant? Maybe this one. Number one.
Innumerable layers of this food. We should know how it comes to us.
Second.
As we receive this offering, we should consider whether our virtue and practice deserve it.
Third.
As we desire the natural condition of mind to be free from pain, we must be free from greed.
And fourth,
to support our life, we make this food. To obtain the good way, we make this food.
So first, innumerable labors brought us this food. We should know how it comes to us. It indicates gratitude for food. So, meditating on food in front of your eyes, you should realize the truth of how many processes, even a grain of rice, has passed through, how many people have been involved in bringing this food to us, how much effort human beings have made for this rice, for this food, and how nature have advanced the growth of rice. We must be grateful for this food because it is impossible for us to bring this food to us without sufficient reflection of our human effort and the great power of nature. So this is the first grace of meal. Second, receiving this food offering, we should consider whether virtue and practice deserve it. This indicates reflection, our reflection. So, Hyakujo Zen Master says, no work a day, no food a day. Hyakujo Zen Master was one of the outstanding Zen teachers who was the founder of the Zen monastic life in China, which was completely different lifestyle from that of monastery in India. So he established monastic life based on self-sufficiency, self-support. So working, cultivating the ground and growing the vegetables, etc. But according to the traditional lifestyle of monastery, they couldn't do it. But he completely established a new way of monastic life in China. His name was Hepjo Zen Master. So he says, no work, W-O-R-K, no work a day, no food a day. So it means that we not only just eat to gratify our hungry desire, nor to work, but receive the food with gratitude, reflecting upon ourselves how we accumulate our virtue. Whether our practice is actualized properly or not, I think that to accumulate the virtue of our life means to do something quietly and secretly without showing off too much, regardless of whether people see you or not. Anyway, you continually practice quietly, calmly, without showing off too much. This is practice of accumulating the virtue of our life. So usually in our everyday life, always we do something in order to show our capability or the result of our practice which we have made. So always there is a person sense of a person come, success and failure, etc. But to accumulate virtue, the virtue of our life, particularly in terms of spiritual life, we have to continually practice quietly, calmly, steadfast, even a little small things according to Buddha's way, Buddha's teaching. This is our most important practice in the Zen monastery. So that's why number two, the second, we say receiving this offering, we should consider whether our virtue and practice deserve it. The third, desiring the natural order of mind, we should be free from greed, hate, and delusions. I think greed, anger, ignorance, or delusions are called three poisons in human life. But any area of our life, food and clothing and housing, the three poisons of our desires arises endlessly. So the number three indicates the practice of enhancing one's life. So greed arises endlessly in the realm of food, being fond of living on dainty food or hating poor food. I think Dogen Zenji mentions in Tenzo Kyokun, the teaching of Chief Cook. he mentions this long passage, but let me read. When making a soup with ordinary greens, do not be carried away by feelings of dislike towards them, nor regard them lightly. Neither jump for joy simply because you have been given ingredients of superior quality to make a special dish. So you cannot be crazy about hate, dislike, or joy simply. So you have to see what's going on there with calm mind. When the dislike arises, when the joy arises, you have to see calmly and deal with them, not jumping in too quickly. So that's Dogen's intimation here now. The bad thing, talking that you do not indulge in a meal because of where it's particularly good taste. There is no reason to feel aversion toward an ordinary one. Do not be negligent and careless just because the materials seem plain and hesitate to work more diligently with materials of superior quality. Your attitude toward things shouldn't be contingent upon their quality. A person who is influenced by the quality of a thing, or who changes his speech or manner according to the appearance or position of the people he meets, is not the man walking in the way. So, strengthen your resolve and devote your life spirit to surpassing the refinement of the ancient patriarchs and being even more meticulous than those who came before you. How do we apply our life aspiration so that it will function for the way? If great teachers in the past were able to make a plain soup from greens for only a pittance, we must try to make a fine soup for the same amount. This is very difficult to do. Among other things, I think what the Dogen's intimation is that we usually make some food according to the recipe, according to the suggestion of the ancestors and teachers itself. But still we have to make possible effort to make the food beautifully using the same amount of food according to the recipe or teacher's suggestions. Still there we must have any possible effort to make a dish better. Okay. Not better means we try to make the food and the dish in the best way. Even though you follow the recipe, you cannot make a food just to follow the recipes. Okay? So still we need a certain effort how to make a food in the best way in order to serve the people. So that's the point of the intimations here. So in the great if great teachers in the past were able to make plain food from grains for only a penny or 10 cents, etc. Okay, we must try to make a fine soup for the same amount. We have to make this kind of effort. This is very difficult to do. It's not so easy. Among other things, there are great differences between ages, past and today. So even hoping to stand alongside the teachers of former times is no simple matter. Yet being scrupulous in our actions and pouring our energy into those actions, there is no reason why we cannot equal the ancient masters. We must aspire to the highest of ideals without becoming arrogant in our manner. We should respect completely masters' suggestions, ancestors' suggestions, suggestions of recipes. But still, there is some important human effort. How to make the recipe fully alive within your life, within your job, position of the cook. Still, we need this kind of effort. These things are truly just a matter of course, yet we remain unclear about them because our minds go racing about like horses running wild in the fields, while our emotions remain unmanageable, like monkeys swinging in the trees. If only we would step back to carefully reflect on the horse and the monkey, our lives would naturally become one with our work. So I think through the food that we should manage to be free from greed in the realm of food. This is our practice. So this is number three. Number four, to support our body, we take this food as good medicine. it indicates purpose. Why we eat food. So food is not just to eat and to evacuate like insects and animals and birds, etc., but to accomplish the high level of our spiritual life. We should accept food. In order to do this, we should accept the food as a medicine in order to avoid hunger and thirst. I think I read the Nirvana Sutra. Buddha mentions before he died, he passed away. He mentioned the in receiving all food and drink, you should accept it as medicine. Do not take more of what you like and least of what you dislike. Just take enough to support your body and avoid hunger and thirst. Basically, hunger and thirst is source of human sickness. So many kinds of sickness originate from this hunger and thirst. That's why we should receive the food as a medicine to heal this suffering, hunger and thirst. So this is number four. So number five, we say to attain the Buddha way, we take this food. So this indicates ideal image of our life through the food. So we promise that we will bring a person to realization of their deluded life and of walking the Buddha's path with high resolve. Then we can have food to complete the practice of compassion, the Buddha mentions. Okay. This is the fivefold grace of meal at meal. And next we say lunch only, we say we offer this food to benefit all beings. This is simple translations. So I think let me say this verse in a different translation. All spirits and powers, spirits and powers, we offer this food to you all, pervading in the 10 directions. May all spirits and powers receive it together. I think in the spirit and the powers, we say. This comes from the stories which occurs in the several Buddhist scriptures. One story occurs in Nirvana Sutra. Do you understand this chanting is we offer some little amount of food, that we put this a little amount of food on the table mats, okay, before you eat. Two spirits and powers. So that comes from Buddha's stories in the of the Buddhist scriptures. One story is the demon in the devastated forest, which occurs in the Nirvana Sutra. A demon lived and eating a human flesh. The Buddha taught that precept of not taking life in order to awaken to his wrongdoings. But the Buddha took pity on his life because of no more human flesh as his food he lived on. So the Buddha asked all his monks to offer the several grain of rice to this demon at every meal time. So this is a source of this ritual. The second story is in the Vinaya Sutra. Many things of sarvastivada vinaya. Vinaya means precepts. Sarvastivada means one of the Hinayana schools of Buddhism. So many things of sarvastivada vinaya. That is the name of scripture. In this story, it talks about the life of Haliti, woman. She was the daughter of a Yaksha and Raja Graha in India. She had 500 children and fed them on the babies of others. By the request of the people who were being terrified with fear, the Buddha said, Buddha hid one of her 500 babies in his eating bowl. In India, they use a very big eating bowl, just one big bowl. We use a very small, but in India, Burma, they use a huge one bowl. So the Buddha hid one of the 500 children in his bowl. And advised her not to do such a thing again, teaching the one of the Buddha's precept. Do you know that story? You don't know that story. So this Haliti cried again and again because he lost one baby. Then he went to see the Buddha and asking, talking, they confess the loss of her one of the babies. So the Buddha said, do you understand the many people, how many people suffer from the loss of their babies because you took them and you eat? So finally, the Haliti really reflect upon herself and repent in front of the Buddha. The Buddha asked all his monks, and then finally, the Buddha asked all his monks to offer some food at every meal, for her babies in pity of her fate, because she couldn't have any more, nor couldn't have any more human flesh to feed her babies. That's why Buddha took very deeply a pity on this Haliti and her babies. That's why he asked the monks to offer some amount of the food at every meal time. So this is a source of this ritual. Another story is in the scripture, in the sutra called Dharani Sutra in Salvation of Hungry Demon. Emitting fire at his mouth. This is the name of a sutra. the demon emitting fire at his mouth. So Ananda sat in Zazen at the forest lawn in Kapilavat, in India, with mindfulness of some Buddha's teaching. At that night, the demon appears with his body as ugly and thin as just skin and bone, with his throat so thin as a needle, with his disheveled hair, with his nails so sharp as a beast fang, with his mouth emitting fire. The demon predicted Ananda and said, "You will die in 3 days." So he was so terrified that he went to see the Buddha and asked for a way to be free from this demon who predicted his life. The Buddha taught Ananda to ask all his monks for offering a little amount of food for this demon, because demon was really hungry. So all the time he is hungry, thirst of hunger. So that's why if Ananda sat in Zazen at the forest for 3 days more, I think he will die, because this demon could eat. So that's why the Buddha anyway tried to offer the food to this demon. So the Buddha taught Ananda to ask all his monks for offering a little amount of food for this demon at every meal time. This is the beginning of this ritual in the monastery. So now, in the lunch time, we offer some amount of the food on the table mat, and then we start to eat. Now after eating, we collect those food you have offered, and then put them at a certain place for offering to the bird or squirrel or fish. So that's why we chant like this. The outline of we call this one is Sabha in Japanese, in Sanskrit Sampan, S-A-M-P-A-N, Sampan. So this sutra, this verse means all demons and spirits suffering from their karmic life, we now offer a little amount of food at this meal time, according to Buddha's order. Because this is a ritual of offering food according to the Buddha's order. So Buddha asked all monks. So that's why we started to do this. Okay? So we say this ritual of the offering the food is Buddha's order. And may this little amount of food pervade in the 10 directions and gratify all countless numbers of hungry demons. Please be contented with this. This is the meaning of verse. And then next, we chant this food is for the three treasures, for our parents, teachers, leaders, and homeland, and for all beings in the six worlds. Thus we eat this food with everyone. We eat to end all evil, to practice good, to save all sentient beings, and to accomplish the Buddha way. So, this food is for the three treasures, for parents, teachers, leaders, and homeland. This is full gratitude, fourfold gratitude. Parents, teachers, leaders, and homeland. For the six worlds, may all beings equally receive this food. This food is for the three treasures, for our parents, teachers, leaders, and homeland. For the six worlds, may all beings equally receive this food. The first portion is to end all evil. The second is to practice all good. The third is to save all beings. May we all together accomplish the Buddha way. This is my translation, so a little bit different. The last one I said, may all beings equally receive this food. Okay. So, outline of this verse of Keihatsu. Keihatsu means holding up the Buddha ball with both hands, holding the Buddha ball like this, and then chant at the same level as your eye. So, holding the Buddha ball at the same level as your eyes before you start to eat, we meditate on and chant this verse. We as a Buddha's disciple live our lives encompassed by the light of Buddha, Buddha Dhamma. So, the meal is the practice of the Buddha Dhamma. In other words, Buddha Dhamma is the ultimate principle of existence. So, human life is encompassed by this ultimate principle of existence. In other words, your life is supported by ultimate principle of existence, regardless of whether you recognize or not. Then, in your everyday life, whatever you do, obviously your actions, your behaviors are supported by this ultimate principle of existence. Concentrate. That's why eating is also the practice of the manifesting the ultimate principle of existence within each form of action. So called gassho, or holding up the ball, whatever kind of form of your action, should manifest Buddha Dhamma, in manifesting the ultimate principle of existence. So that's why the meal is the practice of Buddha Dhamma. Okay. Accordingly, this food should equally be dedicated to these treasures, homeland, three treasures. Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, homeland, leaders, parents, all people, and all beings of the six worlds in deep pity of their lives. Forward of gratitude. Leaders and homeland, in other words, this is the king and nation and king, or the United States president and nations, president and the United States, and parents and teachers and all people. There are four. But first time when we translate it, we don't believe to express gratitude to the nations, you know. So the people translate it in a different way, like this. It's very interesting. They translate like this: this food is for the three treasures. That is no problem. Next says, for our teachers, family, and all people. That's it. They don't say homeland. They don't say leaders. Well, leaders still vague. But actually, Kokuo means the king of nation, king of country. In other words, president of the United States, in other words. But we don't trust, you know, politicians like this. So we omit this one. So we translate it like this. So, for the three treasures, for our teachers, family, and all peoples. Big difference. So, translation is very interesting. According to your understanding, according to your circumstances, according to your education, we try to change, you know, original into the your own way. So translation always perverted. Same thing happens in the history of translation. From Sanskrit to Chinese. Okay. So that's why finally we say, may all beings equally receive this food. Okay, may all beings means the all beings in the six worlds, six realms of world, means hungry ghosts, hungry, the hell, hungry, the world of hungry, world of the hell, the world of animals, world of fighting spirit, world of the heavenly beings, world of human beings. That is six worlds. Okay. So all beings in the six worlds, and also nations, leaders, teachers, parents. Okay. We may all beings, these all beings, equally receive this food. Without discrimination. Therefore, every time we have a mouthful of food, we pray that we take this food to be free from all evil, to do all good, to bring all beings to realization of the deluded world, to save them from their sufferings, to cross them over the other shore of enlightenment, and to accomplish the Buddha way. May we heartily bring
repose and bliss to all receivers, donors, and offerings, and remain in peace by virtue of the merit of giving, giving food. So that's why we chant, first pushing is to end all evil. Second is to practice all good. Third is to save all beings. Thus may we all together accomplish the Buddha way. Baker Roche translated in a different way, that this first portion is for the precept instead of to end all evil. Second is for the practice of samadhi instead of to practice all good. Way and put the end to the all evil. In the moral sense or in the spiritual sense, whatever you think, anyway, let's end as much as possible. We should do it. We do our best to end all evil. Whatever you think, whatever reason you have, anyway, let's do our best to do this. Next, do our best to do something wholesome, okay? Ethically, morally, or spiritually. We do like this. So, there Baker says, the first portion is for the precept, the second is for the practice of samadhi. So samadhi, for the practice samadhi makes sense because it is doing something good. Because if you practice samadhi, you can exactly fit into the rhythm of universe. So you can be very naturally doing something good. In Buddhism, good, a sense of good means to move toward the Dharma or truth, which is present in samadhi, one-pointedness or tranquility. That is samadhi. Samadhi is a state of perfect tranquility. So samadhi is the practice. We should do it. Being present in the truth, which is always present in the perfect tranquility. But when you do gassho, you must be present in perfect tranquility, means with one-pointedness, becoming one with gassho. This is not form of gassho, but through the form of gassho, you have to manifest actions and refined actions, emotions, from moment to moment, without leaving any concept of your form, so-called gassho. So, this is our practice, constantly. So, that's why Bekalo says that for the practice of samadhi, this makes sense. But I think originally the verse says a concrete way of our practice. Put an end to all evil and do something wholesome, always. Through the practice of food, through the practice of having meal, we pray, we vow to have eat in order to practice this. So that's why first portion, and second portion, and third portion. Then we try to help all sentient beings. It think there is one important point in this verse. First portion is to end all evil. Second portion is to do something wholesome. Third, to save all sentient beings. So those three are connected to each other, okay? Not separately. Because you cannot end all evil just for you. No. You cannot do something good just for you. But you have to do these practices for helping all sentient beings, doing something good for all sentient beings. For instance, otherwise you cannot develop your life, individual life. For instance, let's imagine there will be the artist or musician, okay, or spiritual person, whoever, okay, who really want to protect his or her own life without falling into any trouble. Holding his life as simple as he can, as peaceful as he can, supporting his life as possible, to product his art, to show his music as best as he can, but to the minimum, because he doesn't want to get into any trouble. So he has to show that his music, he has to produce his own art just to support his own life. In simple way, in peaceful way, that's it. He doesn't want to pour his own life into others. Do you understand this one? At that time, let's imagine his work, so-called art, music or artist, okay, whatever. He cannot develop his capability as an artist. No. Because he wants to always support his life to the minimum, because he doesn't want to involve in any trouble. Any more trouble. So obviously he protects his own life in simple way, in a peaceful way. Always. So at that time, even though he showed his product or he showed his music capability of his music, but his capability of music doesn't develop so much, because always make every possible effort to keep his capability in his own small territory. Do you understand that one? Do you? But you can't develop at all. But your own life is very peaceful and simple, happy. Not much money, but you feel happy. But not much trouble, but very simple life. And keeping away from modern civilization, living in the countryside, and always keeping his life in a simple way. At that time, he never had a chance to develop. So if he wants to develop his own capability as an artist or musician, I think he should do something for others. At that time, naturally, he developed. Naturally, people are cause his capability to develop naturally. Do you understand that one? Because if he does, he does something for others, I think he suffers so much, but right in the middle of suffering, still he can do something constantly. So his suffering anyway brings the development of his capability as artist to him constantly. But if he, because he lived in the big scale of the world, not only his own small world. Okay? Look at yourself. Everyone is very egoistic, individualistic. You don't care the money because you feel happy. You don't think others. You don't think try to help others. No. If you start to help others, you cannot keep your life in a small territory, because big flood washed small well where the small frog lives, feeling, enjoying his life in a small well. But he cannot stay in it because we don't know what happens in a minute. So big flood washed away that small well. So if you do something for others, you have to live in the oceans, in the huge oceans. So you suffer a lot. But this is very good for you, because to develop your life, to enhance your life naturally, even though you don't want. That's why in Mahayana state, we cross the others first, over the split rivers, over to the river, and then to the other shore of the river. Do you understand that one? But if you look at your life and your friend's life, people always do individualistic. So, maybe business is getting good. You can get the business pretty well. But your life doesn't deepen. Very egoistic. You don't suffer because you're always keeping your own life. So that's why in the Buddhism always we chant like this. We do end all evil and do something good, and also save all sentient beings. Without this, you cannot do actually the end all evil and do something good in true sense. You cannot do it. Even though you do egoistically, but it doesn't last for long. Okay? So this is a most important spirit from Buddhism. Your question.
You began your lecture talking about Harpajong?
Yes.
Now I'm missing the connection. Was he the composer of this verse? Or okay. What was his relationship with?
No, I just gave a quote. Yeah, I mentioned just.
I see.
His message.
Okay. Oh yeah. Then does this come from originally from Sanskrit?
No, it's Chinese. It
comes from Chinese.
Yes, Chinese.
Okay. And one more question. I heard that 7 grains of rice.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose. Is there some significance to that in 7?
Seven is a lucky number. Lucky number. Seven saints, and also Buddha was born. When the Buddha was born, he walked 7 steps. the seventh lucky number. So not necessarily it's seven grain of rice, you know. That's just a number.
You mentioned at the beginning of your lecture to work quietly, not to show off your work.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end you talk about working among people.
Okay.
So are there problems? I see problems with working among people as an artist or whatever and not expecting or not recognition.
Yeah, real peace, real real quiet practice should be optimized in the noisy, not noisy, you know, but in the realm of all sentient beings, you know, in the realm, in the world where many beings exist. So it is not quiet, pretty noisy. Many noises, you know, coming up from the world. But right in the middle of noisy world, we have to practice that peaceful, tranquil practice. This is important. That's why we have to help all sentient beings.
We help all sentient beings by practicing.
Yes. But the individual, I mentioned, the individually, if you make a peaceful life, it's very simple, don't you? And then in the peaceful mind, peaceful world, you can create the peaceful things. But it's not real peace. Because when you can't stay always in your own life. Because your life is supported by many beings. So very naturally, there's something compels you to join, to be engaged in the other's life. Very naturally, that peace you have established in your own territory is gone. Quick. So that is confusion most people have. Do you understand?
In the story where they hid the baby in the bowl,
mm-hmm.
did the Buddha give the baby back?
Well, the story doesn't say, but maybe so. Maybe so.
In most of the lectures that I've heard on Buddhist compassion, even the compassion of the Bodhisattva, the conclusion of the lecture seems to be that we must include all beings in our intention, but there is no action recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
No action recommended by what?
Right. When you say that in Mahayana we must bring the others over to the other shore first,
mm-hmm.
as this is the Bodhisattva way.
Mm-hmm.
Does this go beyond our own personal zazen and intention? Is there also some work for others that we should do? Does compassion lead us to heal the sick and feed the hungry? Or does it simply lead us to sit zazen?
I think compassion actually doesn't heal the people's suffering. But the compassion constantly to be present with people's suffering,
mm-hmm.
always, because compassion can be found in everyone, everywhere. So compassion cannot to say compassion cannot do anything, strictly speaking, for the people suffering. But compassion is always with them, with them. That's why if people realize that compassion coming up, if people open up their own heart, it's coming up. For this, the person, wise person, or the enlightened person, or bodhisattvas who realize this compassion should be with him, with all sentient beings constantly. And then give a chance to awaken to this compassion in their life.
So, in Western phrase, we would say compassion is an end in itself.
And?
It is an end in itself. It is its own reason. It does not actually go to help anybody.
But, yes, it doesn't help, actually, but in a sense, it's helping because it is already everyone's, in everyone's. So regardless of whether you think it doesn't, whether it helps or it doesn't help, anyway, compassion is always with everyone. So from this point, compassion helps always, in broad sense. And also, the Buddhist teaching of Buddhism is end of this is end of compassion. Compassion is end itself. That's what you mean.
Yes.
Yes, but I think it is not an end. Compassion is end, but real end is free from compassion. In other words, how the compassion is working in your life without leaving any trace and form. This is action and practice itself. And then, at that time, compassion, people really feel something great from those people. Because if you believe that compassion is end, I think that we believe something great in the bottom of our heart, which is mysterious, which is something mysterious and wondrous, inconceivable, with great power, you know. At that time, people get to talk from that. So of course, compassion is end, but it is not real purpose. Real purpose is to be free from compassion, which is end.
With all sentient beings.
Yes, that's right. At that time, your everyday life is really art of creation. So compassion, you said compassion intention? Intention?
Yes, I wondered whether it was limited to the intention or whether it goes out into action.
Yes. Intention, with your intention you have to do something, of course. But I think with great intention, with a deep concern, deep intention, anyway, careful intentions, then we do our best to do something, to be compassionate to others. But the point is, your intention and compassion you have showed all come together into where? Not ideas.
No.
Just practice. In process. At that time, idea of compassion, the idea of intention, what you have showed, all come together. And this is a life in motion.